And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 10 a.m. in the East Coast, and it is 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is November 15, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about the French attack, what happened in Paris, and then we're going to stipulate what can be done. And we're going to reorganize the thoughts and matters of what's important these days. Because with all things happening so fast and so quick, people tend to go into a freeze mode, which we need to shake it out. So what did happen? What happened in Paris? We have some segments of news that I'll be happy to play it once it's ready. And I want to tell you that we are together with the French people and we hug them and we are ready. Let's listen to what I got for you.
We're getting reports that 5 attackers have been killed. But Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herod suggests it likely took upwards of a dozen people to plan and execute an attack of this magnitude, meaning this manhunt is likely far from over. Those who were said to have been shooting into at least one of these restaurants did so from a car and then drove away. And that's not to take into account the multiple other shooters who appear to have been in Paris, France tonight and may be unaccounted for. Congressman Peter King is the chairman of the Counterterrorism and Intelligence Subcommittee of the Homeland Security Committee. He's with us tonight. Congressman, thank you for being here. First, just give us the big picture. Give us the big picture on what we've seen tonight.
This was a vicious, diabolical attack carried out, I'm certain, by Islamic terrorists, most likely ISIS. It's the nightmare scenario that all of us who deal with intelligence and Islamic terrorism fear. That the fact that you could have foreign fighters most likely coming back from Syria, carrying out an attack like this, coordinated attacks, hitting all different levels of society, hitting restaurants, hitting a concert hall, hitting a soccer stadium, to create this fear, this feeling of fear and absolute confusion and chaos. This was terrorism at its worst, and this is what could happen really in any major large city in the United States or in Europe. And we have to always be on our guard. I hope this is a wake-up call. I hope the president is listening when this morning he said that ISIS is contained. This shows that it's going to be a long, hard fight before ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Islamic terrorism is contained and destroyed. So this is a war, and we have to realize that we have to stop holding back and stop making believe that our main worry is how fast we can close Guantanamo. Our main goal has to be how quickly we can destroy ISIS.
The situation is fluid, and we are working on preliminary information. But according to one report, one of the men arrested near the Bataclan, the concert hall, where so many were murdered tonight. The man taken into custody reportedly told the authorities, "I was recruited by ISIS along with 3 others coming from Syria." There has been a huge controversy in France over how many of these refugees coming from Syria they should take, and whether it was a matter of being humane or whether it was a matter of potentially jeopardizing the people of France and their safety. We, too, have been engaged in the same debate here in the United States, and we have taken in over 1,000. The president says we'll take in 10,000. The question I have for you is how confident are you that we have an adequate screening process here?
Megan, I'm not confident at all. I have no confidence. And by the way, neither does the FBI or the other agencies in our government, because they have no databases to work from. We don't know who these people are. There are no records. There are no government records we can go to. There's no personnel records we can go to. We don't know who these people are. So you have, and we know that ISIS does want to infiltrate terrorists into Europe and the United States with these refugees. Also, in addition to that, you have the foreign fighters. There's thousands of Europeans, many of them French, who have gone down to Syria to fight alongside ISIS, to be trained as terrorists, and they are coming back into Europe. And they, once they get to Europe, they can fly into the United States without getting a visa. This is a very desperate situation, and I don't hear many people in our government talking about it, many candidates talking about it. The president somehow thinks ISIS is under control. And you think of what's happened just in the last week. There's been the Russian jet has come down, there's been over 200 people killed, men, women, and children. The bombs going off in Lebanon. Now what we're seeing tonight in Paris. This is, Megan, this is the real deal. And when I think of all the attacks that were made on the NYPD, because they, the fact that they were monitoring potential terrorists here in New York City, well, maybe if Paris, if the your Paris police could have incorporated those same methods, this may not have happened. And
But we're not doing that anymore here in New York.
Well, let me give Commissioner Bratton. He's doing the best he can under certain circumstances, and it's not as much as it was done before, and that's part of the problem we face.
But is there any other way? Is there any other way in a free society? And some would question whether we are free if you have the law enforcement infiltrating places like mosques. I understand that, but is there any other way besides doing that that you can realistically prevent someone from strapping on a suicide vest and walking into a public place and detonating it, or doing a drive by a restaurant and opening up fire with an AK-47?
Megan, there really isn't. That's the reality. I mean, you need a combination. We have to use the NSA, we have to use the CIA, the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, and the police on the ground. Now, just this past July, we were told that ISIS was going to attack the United States, specifically New York, over the 4th of July. 5 ISIS operatives were arrested in New York City and northern New Jersey. If they had not been arrested, if they had not been stopped, we may well could have seen over the 4th of July the same type of carnage that we saw in Paris today.
How significantly, if at all, does this raise the alert level here? You know, we used to have the color-coded system. We got rid of that.
Yeah.
But what is likely to happen here in America over the next days and weeks?
Well, I can assure you that within moments of this happening in Paris, all of our agencies, FBI, Homeland Security, National Counterterrorism Center, FBI, all of them came together. The Joint Terrorism Task Forces, NYPD, here and I'm sure other police departments around the country, consolidating and assessing as much intelligence as they could, increasing the security patrols in New York. You're going to see a higher level of police protection, and there's going to be more police activity that you don't see. And I'm sure that'll be repeated in other major cities across the country. You're going to see more security at the airports. You're going to see us sharing whatever intelligence we have with the French, with the British, with the Germans and the Spaniards, because we don't know whether or not these attacks were just coordinated for Paris, or are they part of a worldwide series of coordinated attacks? All of that has to be looked at, and that's what's going on right now. It's a full court press.
We talked about essentially it's a police state tonight in France, where they're saying they can place you under house arrest if they find you suspicious. They can confiscate your weapons. Could that kind of thing happen here if we were to suffer an attack like this?
Megan, we certainly don't want that to happen. And that's why when I was talking about the NYPD before and certain activities I think the FBI should carry out, to me, those are entirely within the Constitution. Yes, it's going further than maybe some of us in our idealistic world would like, but it does say within the Constitution. The danger is if something like this does happen, what happened in Paris, that people will want to give martial law powers to the government. We don't want that. I don't want that. But if we keep restricting the legitimate rights of police and the legitimate rights of law enforcement, if people keep yelling about the NSA, then that we could reach a situation where we do have an attack like this, and then people call for much more severe action than would have been required in the first place. And I would not want that to happen.
Congressman Peter King, thank you, sir.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. That was Congressman Peter King, who spoke to Megan on the file, Megan file from Fox News. They are thinking about the way to protect people, and they know, and everybody knows, that it's unpredictable. So we need to go to basic rules of engagement, which says everybody have to be alert all the time. We are not saying state of emergency. We're just saying we need to be alert. Now, we have one issue that I have with the world. Nobody is trying to pull out the power of the quiet Islam, because since those are radical Islamists, you can call it whatever it is. I'm just saying, and I'm not name giving to anybody. I don't give a name to anybody. I'm just saying, stating what, basic truth, that it's, they are Muslims and they're fanatic. Okay. Now, there are a billion people the slum world. I didn't see anybody who's getting, you know, the job done to control them. It's like you have a little criminal in the gang, and they act up, and the gang just don't get it, don't care. I don't know what pressure, kind of pressure they're putting, but I want you to understand that if we ignore the fact that we need to collaborate with and work with them, and they need to collaborate with the Western world, we cannot understand. And of course, they're afraid for their life, but they are too many of them. They just cannot ignore the situation anymore. So what I'm saying is we need to take advantage of some people who really want to share. Now, we have one imam. Imam is the guy that clergy that speak and sing in the mosque. His name is Hussein Shalguni. That's what I heard. He called, he's in France, he's the head of the, you know, the imams organization of whatever, you know, you guys have it there. But he calling to the Jews and the Muslim to join forces to defeat this enemy. He was calling them, calling everybody, brothers and sisters. It's a good man. You know, he's calling out to work, and we need to use this guy because he's in France, and he could probably have other people. Now, if we start to building the force of good, of light, of brotherhood of men within the Muslim community, we can all defeat it. It's a problem for them too, and they just need to have courage. So if anything today that I want to say to the French people and to the people around the world that are concerned, courage is the word of the day. You need to have courage. And courage is not something that, you know, you just buy. You get your guts together and you face that music. And you know that in the fight for liberty, we all are brothers. We need to keep this world moving. Now, in Paris, they've been closed out. You know, they're not allowed out. They closed the Eiffel Tower, which might be a reasonable thing to do. But the fact that that attack really influenced the whole livelihood of everybody, and it's play to their ends. I would say you need to get your guts together and move it and get out and do the right thing. And now, what is the right thing? First of all, you have to be vigilant. Vigilance needs to be created in every area. Let's go to the basic rule of engagement in Israel. In Israel, when you get to any kind of club, supermarket, mall, anything, you have a guard. And you have a metal detector in most mall, you have a guard. They need to know that they cannot come around. Now, let's remember, those playing in the stadium, the German against the French were playing there that day, the guy, the bomber, couldn't get in because the security guy stopped him. Now, let's think about what really happened there and analyze if they did well. First of all, the German already got the notification of an alert, of a warning signal in the morning. The group, the players of the Germans came to the hotel, got some kind of informant information that something is going to happen. They evacuated the hotel, and think what happened. They returned to the hotel, to the same hotel. If you have some alert, you just change the venue, move, unexpected. But they did not do that. However, once you have an alert, everything needs to be on its feet. You don't go and play, you know, and just keep it going normally. You need to let everybody in the city know that something is about to happen. Of course, they knew, but they probably didn't analyze it properly. So the German had an alert. They evacuated the hotel. Then they came back to the hotel and went to the game. There were shoot up in the game, and they kept on going. Now, the explosion happened outside because the security guy did not let them in. Just imagine how lucky they are. If it would happen in the stadium, it could have been a devastation for real. And the guy blew himself out outside. So that was security did work. Of course, some people died, but they saved a lot of people, okay? So they did well as far as controlling and protecting the area. Now, words from the Defense Minister of Israel. They need to have a wake-up call, everybody, and change the way they engage with the terror. We have experts in Israel, you know, for the wrong reason. We had everybody added the experience to be through something. And I'm telling you, it's not funny, and it influences you deeply. Once you're settled, you think you're settled, it's always there. So I would suggest that a close collaboration, close working with a group with Israeli security forces will help the world a lot. And actually, I was calling today to the foreign ministry to open a desk, the national desk for the defense mechanism, that everybody, anybody, all over the world can come and call upon Israel if they need any help. And I'll be happy to connect anybody, you know, if there is any needs. By all means, it will be an honor and our duty to help. All right. So today is Sunday. We have Israeli music, or we have something just, you know, talking of appreciation to the friends, too. So let's listen to some music.
רוצה לברוח מזה אבל זה הגיע לא חיפשתי פשוט אמרו לי אוי כמה זה כואב את יודעת מישהו אחר נכנס לחייך איך אתמודד עם זה לא יודע.
All right, we're back. It's Sunday, and we are with Israeli music. I know that, you know, the hearts and minds are with France. And, of course, we need to think about the total picture, what's going on from a different perspective. Now, the Syrian refugee that been traveling to Europe, been welcome, but they saying that they're gonna screen them even better now because one of the terrorists had a Syrian passport. Not that they cannot buy one, but most likely he's from Syria, and all this fighting with ISIS. Now, somebody told me today that ISIS is controlling a landscape as big as Britain, holding captures the amount of people like the state of Israel, and they have natural resources of you know, oil that they've been trafficking illegally with a short cost, of course. But the change of the volatile market of the oil industry made them not so happy because they don't have much funds after that. But the truth of the matter, they are already in control of state. The landscape is raw, it's not easy, and I wouldn't like to send anybody there to fight them. But there must be a way, guys. There must be a way. There is no way that it's going to continue forever. Let's think about how they spread the news. They spread the news through the social media. That's why they have those lone wolves that join them. That's why they can recruit. Now, the question is, with free information and know-all, what, you know, the World Wide Web can do? I'm saying you have to close those sites. You just have to build a big, big, big force, international force, monitoring multi-languages of this activity online. It's not easy to go underground. They have the ground. They have the natural resources, which people say, you know, you need to bomb them and not let the oil field produce for them. But they have cottons, they have everything there, I heard. But think about the fact that we are ignoring their marketing tactics. Now, Google and all the companies that are in control of social media have to be a part of it. And we cannot say, you know, please, you know, again and again. They need to stop. Because if I go in 2 seconds to any webs, to the net, and I'm writing Zionism. You know, Zionism is the world, it's the new evolving world for anti-Semitism. If I write Zionism, you immediately find lots of sites that killers, you know, Zionist killer. And I'm saying to myself, if I found it in 2 seconds, why the world police don't help out and start removing them? The idea is to have some kind of prototype to work with, and it's really much easier if we pay attention, but we need to join forces together. That needs to be internationally monitored. And on the way, we probably will clean up a lot of other stuff in the mix. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all those illegal activity that's happening. And if you think that the marketing technique works for them, our protection technique will work for us. So we need to make a task force built on a massive joint efforts worldwide to get into the web and start cleaning up the mess. Now, if anybody said to me, we did that, I will say it was poorly done. Let's do a real good job. And let's make sure that all those people who are in control of the net can help us clean it up. Because when I see a guy with a gun or a Kalashnikov on his picture, this is not a proper picture to put on the web, right? Now, you saying you can do that to whatever he wants or not? No, he cannot. When he said kill all those of any kind, he cannot. So, first of all, you have to eliminate that, block them, and then start working out from a different level. All right, guys. Let's listen to some more music, and we'll be there after that.
לוקחת חצי כדור להרגיע את עצמה וזורקת משפט של אימון אתה או אני או אתה ואני בתוכי סגור מילותיי כבר עיניי יוצאות.
And we are back. It's Oily Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Yesterday in Vienna, there was a conference, and I think that it's today too, today is their meeting in Turkey. But in Vienna, they were talking about the situation in Syria and how they can improve the situation. All right, so they agree on some sort of understanding that everybody understands that something has to be done, right? So John Kerry was saying that we need to make a United Nations body to negotiate with a Syrian opposition and then go to elections, which will be to supervise, control, free and open to all Syrians if they are in Syria or in the diaspora. Then they're going to have a political process that it will be Syrian-owned, Syrian-controlled, which if you think about it, they go to election, they're going to have a regular process, and they're going to choose some kind of implementation of ceasefire between the parties. And in 2 weeks, they're going to convene again. That was John Kerry's statement today or yesterday about the accords about Syria, which means they don't agree that Assad is going to stay, but they respect the motion that things need to go through the due process and the United Nations. That's great. You know, you leave something to the United Nations, you're surely going to have something happened. And they're going to settle, probably, you know, they're going to settle who's going to take control. Because if you put the United Nations, trust them to embezzle some of them. Not everybody, of course, but some of them need to be still looked after. Well, I would say the John Kerry intentions are good. United Nations choice somebody is bad. I wouldn't go that way. I would say that if you make a new coalition of four big nations, now that you have the G20 meeting with the president, you can create kind of understanding. And then you're going to go to election. Then you're going to free election for all Syrian, and you choose a new leader. And after that, probably the refugee camp might go back home. Well, if it will work that way, that will be good. I don't think so, but it will be okay. Now, one note before we are closing this session about you know, the France and the Syrian. I want to add something new that just popped into my screen, that China welcomed the International Monetary Fund's backing to make the yuan world reserve currency. Remember, China is the second economy of the world, and if the International Monetary Fund is going to have the yuan, the Chinese yuan, as a part of the reserve, it will be interesting to watch. So just follow that one too. Now, today I had a very interesting conversation with one of the major players in the peace talks between Israel and Palestinian. The lawyer is attorney at law, Gilad Shear. Gilad used to be behind the scene as negotiator. He's actually massive as far as the talk goes. He's about to publish a new book about the price that it's gonna take us. Let's see what's the name of that. I'm not sure, but the fight on the house. They you know, the on the patria, the battle for the patria. That will be a better name, title, if you translate it. So this battle on the thing, on the territory, on the patria, need to encompass a few factors, which I was enlightened today by talking to him, since he's a very well-spoken, he's outstanding. And then he also... it's also about realistic. He knows that right now the situation with the Palestinian is so scattered that even that, with all due respect, that we have a meeting at 6 p.m. Israeli time They're going to meet with a former minister of foreign affairs of Israel, Tzipi Livni, and the left wing party. They're going to talk about what we can do to improve our ways of communicating and negotiating with the Palestinians. Now, Gilad Shar said, if the inside polemics, problems, dilemmas of the Palestinians will not be solved, nothing is going to happen because some of them do not believe. And I asked him, did anybody from Palestinian have a connection to ISIS, to Daesh? And, you know, you guys have to understand that if this Palestinian action or act of violence look like they become from the playbook of Daesh, it doesn't matter if I got approved or not. You're playing in the same game they're playing, which makes you a no partner for peace talk. Now, they would accept the Jewish state because they will have to accept the Jewish state if they want to be agree with it at all. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu said that. If you guys want peace, then you need to agree on that. Now, are you going to keep on going and acting like the goons in Paris? Because Friday, a father and son, 18-year-old son and a father, got killed on the way to the wedding Sabbath. They had a wedding Sabbath, and the wedding had been postponed, of course, but they got killed. And why? Because there were Jews driving to Sabbath. So as long as you guys think that we can make a deal with terrorists, there will never be peace. They need to resolve the issue with themselves. If they are a part of the light of the world or if they are part of the darkness. I'm not excusing them for all the deeds that they do, like they probably won't excuse the Israeli for everything they do, but it's a war they're taking on us. And anytime they have occupation factors, it drives me crazy because they've never been a Palestinian state, so they're like living in La La Land. The same, you know, the same way that the European Union chartered the anti-settlement product. They do live in a La La Land. Let's see if I have another segment of news for you. If not, we'll put some music, okay?
But the dominant truth about the situation in Syria is that although Assad and Daesh are supposed to be bitter opponents, they are both parts of the same problem. In fact, the rise of Daesh is directly attributable to the policies and actions of the Assad regime. And that is why we have referred to Assad as a magnet for terrorism. This is a case, and there are many in history, in which two supposed enemies are in fact symbolic. Loathing towards Assad drove thousands of Syrians into the arms of Daesh. And fear of Daesh caused some Syrian groups to feel that they had no realistic option but to support the government. That's not just symbolic, that's a symbiotic relationship, each piece dependent on the other. And the desire to flee both explains the massive refugee crisis that we face today. The relationship between Assad and Daesh clarifies one of the apparent peculiarities of this conflict, that the two extremes have only rarely targeted one another. Think about that. In fact, they even do business with each other, buying and selling oil. Assad and Daesh are enemies far more in theory than in fact, and neither has shown any interest in bringing the killing to an end. If neither the dictator nor the terrorists are the answer, and they are not, our challenge is to create conditions under which a clear and broadly acceptable alternative can emerge. To that end, President Obama has set for our nation three interrelated goals. We begin with Daesh. Some 14 months ago, the President made it clear that the United States was committed to the defeat and dismantlement of this terrorist organization. And over the last month, he has directed every member of his national security team to pick up the pace and move forward with ideas for degrading and defeating Daesh more rapidly, more completely, and permanently. Second, we are intensifying our diplomatic effort to finally bring an end to the civil war in Syria. And third, we are determined to support our friends in the region and to ensure that the instability created by the Syrian crisis does not spread further beyond its borders. Now, these measures are mutually reinforcing.
All right. That was John Kerry on the Syrian situation. You have detailed more on the web. I accumulated the points for you before, where he's calling on elections monitored by United Nations and implementation of such by the Syrian. Well, let's pray for his success, because it's not easy. Now, going back to the discussion that we had before, you see, the people who act like terrorists, you can negotiate with, and they're trying, and it's not going to happen soon if we don't have international understanding, coalition of the willing, as George Bush, President George Bush, used to say. We need to create that task force everywhere, which will be joined forces with the Muslim, all religion, all ethnic background, everybody. We need to join forces as forces for life. And if you think ahead, you know, the idea that the world getting better when Clinton, well, with Ronald Reagan, we start having prosperity. Then we had Clinton that we had inspiration. Then we had George Bush that we need to fight fanatics. Then we had President Obama that free the people from the land. And now we need to have a president that will tie the stuff together. That's why I was saying that Jeb Bush is the man for the task, because he knows and he has the connection to all those past tense experience that the world leader had to go through. And you cannot just learn on the job. The president of the U.S. cannot be unaware of the situation. And whoever is on the GOP list, if you think, and they're all good people. I love Cruz and Marco Rubio, but they are not equipped. Jeb Bush is equipped with the knowledge of gathering. And if you think about him, he's a tough guy. He's a tough cookie to work with. On the Democratic side, I heard that Sanders is gaining forces. I don't see America going socialist or communist anytime soon. And Hillary has his her pack of bad deeds. So, and you know, solution as far as the world terrorism, she cannot gain trust on that level. That's why we need to choose a leader, a world leader that will help us solve the situation and be calm in the process, because everybody is freezing on me and I can't stand it. I see the people that, walking in Paris, and I'm saying, God bless them. God bless their heart. I was in tears because I know how bad it is, and I was so sorry about Paris. And what everybody has to go through, it's horrible, it's horrendous. But I noticed that they are feeling sorry for themselves. As I mentioned before, you know, Jesse Ventura used to say in his book, we don't have time to bleed. We are fighting right now. We can, you know, lick our wounds once later or never. But the truth of the matter, we need to go into action, and they're not going into action. They got mad. And getting mad is good because it makes you react, but is it the reaction from the right place? I know that President Hollande is mad, and he said France is at war, and I wonder who is going to attack now that they are in war. Don't give them that much credit. Don't give them that much credit that they did so badly to France, that they won the world of liberty. Yeah, they said that, yes. The image of Paris is like the image of New York, but by all means, you know, the Trade Center is an event of magnitude, a different level magnitude, and I don't want to compare it, but it doesn't compare, right? We had a really major leak, 9/11, and this is a symptom. One of the symptoms is that what happened in Paris. So as we pray for the lost soul, and we pray for the common sense of some Arab leaders to come and make a coalition, and we bless for those who are reaching out and helping, we need to get into action mode. And they say, you know, the Canadian troops, the Canadian Prime Minister just announced that he's going to pull the troops from any attacks on the Middle East. Fine, he's liberal, whatever he wants. We'll cut them off in a different way, even though we love Canada. But for them to choose somebody who doesn't care about the rest of the world, it's horrible. All right, let's get some more music, and we'll be after that. All right, it's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. Today, Sunday, we have a show tomorrow that we're going to cover more news. And I want to pay attention to one big conference that is coming up in December 8th in Netherlands. It's the Fourth World Border Pool Congress, which international, it's trade fair, international organization, world and regional. It's a fire and rescue conference, which will talk about probably all the protection forces agency that they'll talk about the current issue, the future issue, and challenges facing the border management, security, and migration management sectors, controlling and managing international borders in the 21st century, which is important because everybody's talking about the borders and how you control it, and you want to know. First of all, we need to have one world applied information about the borders. Now, talking about the borders, before I leave you, something that sounded weird to me, and of course I'm genuinely, you know, completely naive, but when the European Union calls itself European Union and they have one policy for borders, how come they don't subject people also to the same control and protection too? Because if you have the rule of engagement, you need to enforce them. And if something happened, I want to see some powerhouse, European world leaders who come together and talk about it. Of course, they met today in Turkey, which was impressive to see President Putin and President Obama sitting, just facing each other and talking. And the body language was of a comfortable nature, but probably they have some issues that they didn't agree upon. But it was amazing because as the president talked to the Russian president, the secretary of state talked to the minister of foreign affairs of Lavrov of Russia, seems like the world power starting to get into the habit of talking to each other, something that makes us all better off. Because if we can communicate, we can solve problems, we could actually question things, and we can get answers. And maybe we can win. It's not easy to win, but it's better to do it together. You can do it together, you can win. So that's the problem that we're facing. And people here in Israel thinking about the, you know, how much they are not on the same subject as far as working for peace. And I'm saying we are not that far away. We're not that far away from each other. Everything could be done. Everything could be understood. Everything can be solved if we only use our ways to want to understand each other. You know, there is an issue that's saying, you know, the pursuit of happiness, you need to be happy. The question is, do you decide to be happy? Make a decision to be happy. And if you want to live in peace, you must make a decision to live in peace. That's the way you are going to solve things and improve your life. And if you understand that not every battle is worth fighting and not every argument can be controlled, just check your gun in the doorway and... as they say, and try to solve. This world is sensitive now. Everybody is in pain. Everybody is aching. We need some major healing to do as world, because we didn't learn the lessons of history and we didn't assume any new position. And what happened in France could be avoided if they had some more protection. And you need to have protection. If the 11 districts of Paris is the one that people have fun there, put some people on the ground. I saw in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, you know, every time there are people, there is some ground troops. You detect, you see, and you check. That's in everywhere that the people are concerned to safeguards of the people. However, let's pray for peace of Jerusalem, that's for sure, because that's where everything will set and be okay. All right? So I want to say goodbye to you. I love you all. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Monday. It will be 8 p.m. Jerusalem time. And I hope that you have a peaceful, peaceful day. God bless you. God bless. Take care. Ciao, ciao.